You're listening to Faith and Family, a Christian family community that aims to provide Christian advice and promote Christian values. I'm Bernie Rosquitas. I'm a wife and a tired mom. I have a toddler, I have a job, I have church duties, and sometimes I just need my toddler to stay still while I'm making dinner, doing the dishes, checking my email, and so I sometimes let the TV, sometimes iPad, babysit him. How many of you moms do that? A recent study was conducted by couponcodes4u.com, polled 2,403 American parents of children ages 2 to 13. 27% of respondents said that they allowed kids to access tech devices on a daily basis, 22% on a weekly basis, and 19% said they do it occasionally. 18% said they rarely did, and 15 said never, and they probably live in some remote island with no Wi-Fi. When asked if they often use their tech gadgets to effectively babysit their children, keep them occupied so the parents didn't have to, the majority, 58%, said that they did, while 25% admitted that it depended on the situation. Okay, so many of us are guilty of letting technology babysit our children. Raising my hand, I am one of them. But are we aware of what our children are watching? Are we controlling what kind of content they are exposed to? Let's ask other moms. Joining me today are Emmerich, mother of three boys from Montclair, California, and Annie Cañete, mother of two from Jacksonville, Florida. How are you, my girlfriends?
Doing good.
Good.
Thanks for having us.
Good. Oh. So, first of all, Annie, this is the first time on board with Tired Moms, and yes. You have two kids, right?
Yes, I do.
And
I
how
had
old are
both
they?
My hands up earlier with you. I have a 7-year-old and a 3-year-old. My 7-year-old is my son, and the 3-year-old is my darling little daughter.
Oh, okay. And then Emmerich, you got a teenager,
I have three
boys.
I do. I have a 15-year-old. I have a teenager, a tweenager, and one who thinks he's a teenager, but he's got a long way to go.
And he's like with 9, right?
Yeah, he's 9. So 9, 12, and 15.
Okay, yes. So, I know a mom, she put her baby in front of those baby can read videos on the iPad every day and let him play with educational apps since he was little. And he read his first 100 words at 14 months. Wow. I feel like he's probably like 3 now and probably on the, fourth book of Harry Potter.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Maybe Emmerich, you can answer this first. It's like, has your children benefited from the technology now?
I think so. I think, when they were little, they watched a DVD. It was a Leapfrog Learning. Called
that was
Factory.
As far as technology went, right?
That was the thing back then. So we had Leapfrog, what is it called? The Letter Factory.
Right.
And they watched that and they learned their letters quite quickly because of that show. And then, they would watch a show and then I would have flashcards and I would be like, quizzing them here and there. So I would say that, yes, they have benefited from the technology. It has been helpful, but I agree that there is a flip side to it. And we as parents have to be diligent in making sure that, balance is maintained and that we are monitoring the content that they are looking at and things like that.
Definitely. We love the Leapfrog DVD series, right. And now it's all accessible on online streaming.
And what isn't accessible?
I know. It's impressive.
Right? Yeah. Like, you can do anything online. So, I mean, what about you, Annie? Has your 7-year-old benefited it? Have you seen a flip side to that where you're like, what is that on the screen? Where did you get that? How did you...
Oh, it's the worst thing. I was setting up YouTube on our Blu-ray player, right? So it's an app accessible there, and I had to take a phone call. And all I did was open the app, handled my phone call, and I come back probably 4 minutes later, and my two sweetie pies are sitting on the couch staring at a YouTube screen. And I have – so it's just the YouTube homepage, and there was X-rated content on the screen. skin, women upper torso, and my jaw dropped, and I was just flustered, and I was going, wait, they don't know. They're not asking me anything. I'm just going to fumble with this remote to get this off the screen, and, you know, thankfully it wasn't, but it damaged me, and I've seen, like, what? So, and I was so flustered, and frustrated as a parent, and we really need to be proactive. And that's what it is. It's not that you're, you know, restrictive. You're proactive. So definitely just do our research and just hold discussion. Ask your kid, what did you watch? Why did you like it? Do you, would you want to watch more? And you could rate it. How does it compare to this show that we watched? Or why did you choose that one? And just get to know them and ask them those things. And a lot of times they're not going to answer. They're like, Mom, really?
but that's but, it's important though, right? Communication with your kids, as long as you ask.
Even when your kids are a little older, my kids are a little older and I'm constantly asking them, you know, what they're viewing on, you know, on YouTube and on the different shows they watch. I try to stay up to date with whatever they're watching, and not just so that I could, you know, get on their case about it, but I try to enjoy it with them. So, like, you know, I try to see, I know that, you know, David is really into anime.
I was going to ask you about that. That helps his creativity. How is that going? How is that helping him in that realm? Now, does he, like,
draw? Yeah, he is constantly drawing all the different anime characters that he watches. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he YouTubes everything and he checks it out. I call it YouTube University because he is learning so much.
Right.
So many things, you know, he draws, he learns about animals and he draws the animals. He draws all his anime characters and he has, you know, I've never like I put him in any drawing lessons, but his drawings are really pretty cool. And it's just everything on YouTube. So it has its good sides and its bad sides. And I think as parents, we just have to stay involved and just, you know, we learn the hard way to constantly check the history of like what they're searching on the internet.
Yes.
Let me tell you a story of how that came to play, why that came into our face, that we need to keep checking the history of what they're searching. One night, my oldest son, and this was a couple years ago, when he was probably like 13, he's in bed and he has the iPad. And I'm like, hey, why do you have the iPad? Give that to me. You know, it's time to go to bed. And so, you know, I say goodnight. I take the iPad. And as I'm walking out the room, I turn on the iPad and it's like hotasians.com. And I was like, like something crazy like that. Right. And then the funny thing is I took the iPad from my son. I walk out of my son's room. I see what's on the screen and I go, Lewis, what are you searching up here?
I was searching how to make ramen, Mom.
I blame my husband. I didn't connect it. And so, and then when I realized, I was like, wait a second, what? And then, you know, because I'm like thinking, my son's too young for, he's not checking this stuff out. And so, so I'm like, what is going on? And then my husband comes out and he's like, what's happening? And then he's like, that's not me. I just said,
but you know, that's a typical mom thing to do, you know, cause you know, as a mom, you're like, Oh no. You're going to go clean your eyes out with like bleach or something, because there are things you can't unsee. And of course the dad's going to be more.
Yeah. You know, more like understanding, this, more like, let's slow down. Let's not jump to conclusions. And I'm very grateful that he's got that level head, because he starts searching the history and then he starts realizing, he's like, he's searching for pregnant anatomy. He's like looking at, he's searching like the different anatomy that he's been learning at school, because they had just had that like sex ed thing. Right. So, you know, my husband's like, this is what's going on. This is what he's searching. And this is what pops up when he searches it. And so my husband and him and my son had a talk after that and all that
stuff. And you went into the bathroom and screamed your head off.
I'm on the other side of her bathroom door saying, we got this, don't worry.
Let's scream together.
after describing what you do with your child, the follow-up and the discussion, that's the whole point. Because I was a public school teacher, and it baffled me when, and we're not changing the subject here, but it just baffled me when parents didn't spend so much time. And so you can, instead of sending your child off with the device or to the device, go with them, discover something together, and please be the one to teach them, because they're not learning it at school. The teacher does not have time to walk them through step by step how to find this stuff. And chances are they've picked it up already, so they know what to do when they get to Google, or they know however it is that they search. True.
See, an iPhone and an iPad are so nice and compact. You could put them in your purse and then like go places. And then if you needed to distract your kids, you could. I had to bring like this huge gym bag with puzzles and crayons and like big old like characters. Because I didn't have an iPhone.
And so I'm like, to rotate your stock.
Yeah, and I'm bringing out, exactly. I'm bringing out like the preschool as we're like at the chapel.
Well, you know, it is so easy for our kids, you know, to get caught up in their games. And it's so easy for us to give into their whims, especially when they're being, you know, so behaved while they've, you know, while they've got the device in their hands. Yeah. But, you know, how are we making sure our kids stay present and are doing meaningful things, especially because God don't like lazy. You know, I don't like lazy, and too much of that zoning out and being lazy creates and generates idleness. So can we use technology to teach kids about their faith? So do you introduce, or are your kids now watching like INC kids content, or is that a daily thing that your kids watch? How about you, Annie?
Yes, they are watching INC kids content, and they love, absolutely love the characters. They love the animated Bible stories. They love the sing-alongs with Let's Sing. I love them. They're great for when you're brushing the teeth. It's like the perfect amount of time. And my three-year-old does not want the toothbrush anywhere near her mouth, but she'll zone out and I'll just get right
brush
in there.
I got like 3 minutes. Yes. Have you used technology, or have you, you know, has technology helped with your children's faith? You know, sometimes we're going to come across things, like you said, that aren't, you know, friendly to the eye, or they may see something that, like, for example, you know, Christmas or holiday stuff. You know what I mean? How does that come into play with their faith? Have you come across anything like that? You know, Annie?
Oh my gosh, thank you.
Emmerich,
I'm going to run with this one right now.
Run with it, girl. Got it. It's
so
on you.
One of the reasons why I homeschooling was because I know that most of the early education years are centered around holidays. On the calendar, which mostly are pagan. And I'm here in the South, where they haven't really adapted to the whole separation of things. I was a teacher, and so we taught where if you're going to teach one thing, you teach all the options, right? You're going to honor and I just went to science route totally. And nobody knew anything different. It was awesome and fun. And so I'm just the coolest thing was those INC kids episodes. I know there's Let's Sing episodes on all the holidays that we do not follow because they have no biblical basis, and you can't tell that to kids because they'll listen because they love God. They know of Him in your instruction of Him and praying to Him and then learning about Him in the worship service, and then you sit there and you're trying, and if the school beat you to that conversation, you got some catching up to do. Here comes INC kids. I'm sorry, 23 minutes later, I had the rest of the day. I was like, wow, he got it. He's like, well, we don't do Halloween because it's not in the Bible. And yes, I can have candy whenever I want. And he picked up these things from the episode. I literally was like kissing the iPad. Like, that's great. Like, just made life,
you know,
easy.
Thank God for INC kids, right?
Yes.
One of our favorite ones is That's in the Bible.
Yes.
Because they're you know, concise. And they're very straight to the point. So I know that there are several episodes about the holidays on That's in the Bible, and we would watch those. And so it would like reaffirm the things I was telling them, and then we would expand on it. And we would use we would use technology to further research. You know, we'd find websites to show, like, see, this is where it came from. You could read it. This is the history of that holiday. Is that, you know, does that go with what we believe and all that stuff? And so I know that some parents might think, like, it's hard to explain that to a young child. I think you totally can.
Yes.
And I am so grateful now that there is INC Kids that help you do that.
Well, that is awesome. Well, you know, we have an obligation to make sure that they are consuming and utilizing technology responsibly.
You know, in your use of technology, you're a consumer and sometimes you're a producer. And so I talk to them about how, like, if you're just always a consumer, you know, how it's not really helping you. Technology should be a tool to make your life better. You know, it shouldn't be just something you zone out on and become zombies and you're just like, you know, absorbing all this tech, but really, what are you doing with it? So the point is to be able to produce. And so so I talked to them about how, like, don't just be a consumer, be a producer too. What could you do with all of these things you're learning in technology? You know, you're learning all these different things. And so, like, when they're using technology and I feel like you've been using that kind of long, I'll approach them and be like, are you being a consumer or producer right now? And then they'll be like, I'm a consumer right now because I'm doing research because I plan to produce soon. They find their ways around it. But then, like, it's in their consciousness that, like, I can't just take it all in and not output anything. That whole consumer producer conversation, I feel like it has helped me get it into their head that, like, tech is a tool. It's not just something I stare at. It's not just something I play with.
Right.
You know, it's a tool to do something with, to make my life better, to contribute to the world, to share my ideas. So so I think that helped me a lot.
How about you, Annie? Did you want to contribute to?
I wanted to add another way that INZ Media, the content on our website, is so helpful with your children. The one thing I'm very grateful for in this day and age is to be able to track the whereabouts and the visitations done by our executive minister and how my children know his name and they know what he looks like and they know his purpose. You know, they're not going to watch the entire segment of executive news, but they catch it. And they, where is he? And it's neat because you could tie it right into geography. So if you've got a globe or a map, a world map, or pull up Google Maps, you know, they're able to say, you know, and you just do write reviews there. What continent is he on?
Perfect. Well, I want to thank you, moms, so much, Emmerich and Annie. And I appreciate you joining this Tired Moms podcast on faith and family. So I appreciate your wonderful input. I'm literally just like writing notes as you guys talk. So I'm learning. I've learned so much today. So I'm Bernie Rosquitas, and we're all going to talk to you next time on Faith and Family. Thank you.